Blaze through it. Tallyho Twinkle Toe almost lost the rider and lost his chance at the 250. It's a Blaze in front under the whip by a length. Gobstopper, BT Junior running on. It's a Blaze. Is there any horse tougher? Led by a length and a half. Gobstopper, BT Junior's flying. A Blaze needs the line. He's going to get it. What a win. A Blaze won the Grand National Hurdle from BT Junior. Gobstopper,
Great call by Matty Hill. A Blaze. Is there any horse any tougher? I wonder if Kieran Maher, who has trained some very tough horses in his career, would think that as well. Kieran, good morning to you. Congratulations. I was surprised when you said post-race. That's your first Grand National hurdle. No doubt that will take pride of place on your CV.
Morning, Michael. Yeah, no, it was fantastic. Most of my horses have been a little bit slow, so I've switched them to fences, and I've won the Grand National Steeple a few times. But it was great to get a Grand National hurdle, and he's just been a fantastic horse, you know. Like, since he came over, he's just amazing what he's done in such a short amount of time. Like, for, you know, that was his fifth jump start, you know, like, and he's already won a Grand Annual, and, you know, I wouldn't dream of taking a horse to a Grand Annual, you know, on their fourth start normally. But he's a very calculated horse that obviously stays very well. And it's quite amazing what he's done in a very short amount of time.
So is he the best natural jumper you've ever had?
Bash Boy is very good. And he's done it year after year after year. This horse is, I suppose, potentially better. I suppose it's just the longevity, and Bash Boy is a lot bigger, so he could carry higher weights. But this horse, you know, as I just said, what he's done in a short amount of time, and from go to hurdles to fences and back to hurdles again, he's potentially the best one I've ever had. Yeah, definitely.
It's been said that a lot of experts thought yesterday's Grand National field was one of the strongest maybe in a decade, and there'd been a lot of the build-up with Tallyho Twinkle Toe and your boy. What were the instructions, and what were your thoughts during the race, going straight to the front and trying to make it a task to run him down?
Well, yeah, I thought Twinkle Toe wasn't weighted to win, but the horse looked fantastic on the day in the mounting yard at pre-race. And I thought BT Junior, give him a real chance. He closed very well last time and did again. So I said to Shane, we were sort of the same opinion. I said, begin on him, roll out, you know, back to staying ability, and you got the weight pull on him. We'd rather be in front of him than behind him. And he hadn't led before in a jump race, but and he was a little bit leery in front. You could see him sort of really having a good look at the jump. But he looked, first time coming down the straight, he was really enjoying himself, you know, pricking his ears and was right up on the bridle and sort of had a fair bit of confidence from then. And it looked like he was sort of coming under pressure coming down the hill. The better ground I thought he might have had, you know. He seemed to appreciate given the track, and it was quite firm yesterday, given the weather we've had. So I thought, maybe he might be, you know, he might feel the tracks a little bit just with his action. But Shane rode him very well. God, he just, you know, led all the way and obviously caught his jump very well and it was strong through the line.
Prior to the last, were you confident? Because Tallyho looked like he was raising an effort before he bungled the last jump.
Yeah, well, both of them horses, I'd say rounding the turn, I thought, they've got me. And then coming to the last, I was getting more confident as we were coming down the straight, because I thought Gobstopper and Twinkle Toe and BT Junior, I thought we're all travelling really well, and we looked like we're feeling for him sort of rounding the turn. But as we got down the straight, I was getting more confident. But, yeah, Twinkle Toe obviously bungling the last, that stopped his run, and what a great effort by Steve. He's done that a few times now. and managed to stay on when probably many others couldn't. But it was a good display of horsemanship to stay with him and get him over the line.
There's a great backstory to a Blaze. Can you just fill the listeners in, remind them who may not have heard it, how you came about to get this horse and the group of owners?
Well, Rod Lyon, he was in a pub in the South Island, and he said he wanted a horse for the Grand Annual, and he was there. And then another bloke said, yeah, I've got a horse. So I think Rod must have said, I'll give you 20, and the Kiwi said, oh, that's a bit cheap, I'll toss you for it. So if you win the toss, it's 20, and if you lose, it's 40. Well, sure enough, he lost. And he lost, so it was 40 grand. And, yeah, a lot of the guys stayed in the ownership group. And yesterday, they were actually got together in Auckland. They were having a celebration for the Grand Annual because they were in lockdown when he won that. So I rang them on the way to Sandown, and they were all celebrating anyway. So they said, oh, we're celebrating the last one. So what do you think? And I said, well, I think he's got a great chance. So they would have had a fantastic day. And I spoke to Rod after it. And, yeah, he was chuffed. So it's amazing when a plan comes off like that. He said he was buying a horse for the annual. And then when the horse turned up, I rang him. I said, well, it doesn't look much. And Rod then rang the owner and said, oh, my trainer says that it doesn't look much, what have you told me? And so they have great fun now ringing Rod back up, giving it to him, saying, how's he look now?
Well, it's the best toss he's ever lost. 40,000 is bloody cheap for a horse like a Blaze. And you've achieved so much in the jumps caper as well as on the flat. For you, Kieran, I still think it feels like there's an itch to try and take a big jumper like you tried with Big Blue overseas and beat them in the home of jumps racing. Is a Blaze your best chance to do that, do you think?
Well, I think so. I thought a race for him, you know, I thought he'd be a horse to take over for the Grand National. You know, I think the 7,000 metres Yeah, it's close to 7,000, might be 6,900 or something like that. You know, I thought he would like that sort of distance, but they need to be really well seasoned, so he'd probably stay here for this year and next season, and then might look at travelling then. But I'm sure Rod would be up for something like that, and the rest of the boys.
What do you do with him now? Do you try and go and win the double like Telly Ho Twinkletoe did last year in the Grand National Steeple as well?
Yeah, the Grand National Steeple. The Grand National Steeple was always the aim, but so that's always been his prime target. But the hurdle, that we just thought he was going well and fresh and bright, and it fitted in well with his program, so we thought we'd roll the dice. So definitely go to the steeple and back to Ballarat. You would think he'll get that this time of year. He'd have to get cut in the track up there, which would suit him better, I think. And I think he does jump the fences better. You know, it just gives him something to look at and something to be a little bit more calculated with.
And then, does he try to defend his Jericho Cup title in December?
Yeah, I think he does, yeah. I had another horse that won during the week at Geelong, called Wheel John, that I'm setting for that race as well. But, I think the Blaze, you know, there's not too many races that are up his alley, and 4,600 is exactly what he's wanted. So, he'll have a look at that. But he might have a bit of weight this year too. So we'll just have to see how he goes there.
Well, you've been dominating the jump circuit, and fingers crossed we're not too far away from the good horses coming back in the spring. How's your stable looking? When do we get to see Loving Gabby first up?
Loving Gabby. She's in really good order. She's just starting to do her improving gallops now. Her targets are the Everest and the Eagle this year in Sydney. And we'll probably see her here, just have her first run in Melbourne. And just got a couple of races that I'm toying with kicking her off in.
Have you got a slot? You confident you've got one lined up?
There's still quite a few available. So I'm confident she'll get one. She's in great order. She'll be well weighted. And there's been a few of the sort of bigger name sprinters in recent years sort of retire. So, yeah, I'm confident she'll get a spot.
You've got so many 2-year-olds turning three. Who do you think will be your best 3-year-old this spring?
Well, the best 2-year-olds we had were sort of Anders, Prague and Holyfield. And they've all come back. Anders is ready to go. He runs in the Rosebud this weekend. Holyfield's coming up very well. He's trialling again this week. Probably kicks off in the up-and-coming. And Prague, he's a target race will be the... will be the Golden Rose. I think we've got a way game. She's down here in Victoria. I thought a race like the Manicato would be a good race for her.
Just on those Sydney horses that are based up there, the waterlogged tracks, has that caused you any issues in trying to get these horses right and where you go with the early part of their spring carnival?
Fortunately, yeah, like it does have some effect, but they've redone the artificial track there at Warwick Farm, and we haven't been out again. They're pretty good with allowing us. There's a number of grass tracks there, so it's we're sort of where we need to be at the moment with regards to their program.
And now that you're one of the big trainers with the dual stables, what do you think overall of that? They're metro surfaces. Do you think the Sydney race clubs need to put a bit of effort into maybe looking at redoing their major tracks?
They seem to have a higher volume of traffic on them. So I think they may need to look at it, but I'm sure they'll work it out if they put their heads together.
And who's your number one gun, do you think, for the majors, Caulfield Melbourne Cup?
Caulfield Melbourne Cup. We've got a number of horses that are sort of unqualified. I thought Dr. Drill might be a lightweight sort of chance. Lord Belvedere, South Pacific, Perth Dan. There's a number of horses there. I've got a sort of qualify. They're all sort of at the level. I don't think I've got a Jamaica amongst them at the moment, but it's just about getting them right for the day and then on the right weight. And I'm sure one of them will be there about.
Well, it's been a brilliant 12 months for the stable, winning the Victorian Trainers title. Flat over the jumps. There's not much you haven't been able to achieve. And for the listeners out there, I think you and Dave have been going okay on your tipping. Dave tipped Al Ghalil on Saturday. What can you do for us today at Wodonga?
Wodonga. I'm going to have to go with Flash Blood will be thereabouts. Probably maybe each way. Oh, no, there's probably not each way on. Ready to Indulge. And say we're right to go there. We got a bit of an awkward draw, but that's probably our best today.
All right, race 2, number 12, Ready to Indulge. Well done again, Kieran. Can't wait to see you blaze once again line up against Tally-Ho in the Grand National Steeple. It's been a highlight of the jump season this year.
Yeah, true. Yeah, the team have done a great job with him, so hopefully we'll be there lining up in the National in a few weeks' time.
Good on you, Kieran Maher, joining us there. We'll talk more about a Blazers win.